imagine the freedom, the excitement of taking to the skies. To fly as free as a bird is something we humans can only dream of. But for two-thirds of the animals alive today, it's a reality. Flight is one of the greatest breakthroughs in the whole story of evolution. We're going to find out just how life achieved this miracle and took to the skies. A string of evolutionary accidents created wings in four very different ways. Hundreds of millions of years apart. Flight is a unique weapon. Mastering the skies leaves earthbound creatures at your mercy. When there's a black eagle on the wing, rock hyraxes need to be especially alert to aerial attack. But wings aren't just about extra strike power. Flying is also the fastest, most efficient way to travel. It allows you to find food, explore new territory, or escape from danger. So there were lots of good reasons for life to get into the air. But who would overcome gravity and get airborne first? 500 million years ago, animals took their first steps onto land. The pioneers included millipedes, scorpions, and spiders. While these creatures quickly spread over the earth, the skies remained empty and lifeless. Life stayed grounded for at least 100 million years, until one group of animals finally defied gravity and changed the course of evolutionary history forever. The insects, the first animals ever to fly. But how did they sprout wings? One idea is that it's all because insects love to sunbathe. Insects are cold-blooded. They need heat from outside to warm up and move around. They often bask in the sun. And maybe in the past, one type of bug developed small flaps on its back to help soak up the rays, like mini solar panels. Purely by chance, these panels may also have helped the insect to be carried by the wind. Perhaps the panels then evolved into a more aerodynamic shape, eventually becoming wings. But there's a flaw in this theory. Insect wings have complex hinged joints worked by muscles and tendons. Could they really have evolved from those simple fixed panels? There is another explanation as to how flight began. Bizarrely, it may have started in the water. Many insects spend the first part of their lives submerged. They breathe through gills, pumping them up and down to take in oxygen. Some scientists believe that in the past, gills like these gradually turned into wings. What triggered such a dramatic change? One insect living in the rivers of North America holds a clue. Stonefly larvae spend almost their first year underwater, then emerge in late winter to start their adult lives. The adults live just a few days, and their sole purpose is to breed. But to find a mate, they have to make a death-defying crossing to the shore. Their wings are far too weak to fly. But they do make good sails. Perhaps this is how flight began. An ancient insect waved its gills to catch the breeze and set sail, just like stoneflies do today. Gills already had the joints and muscles to flap up and down, and could then have evolved from sails to wings. And then, insects really took off. Whatever the first flying insect was, it won the biggest evolutionary jackpot of all time. Its genes were now unstoppable. Today, its legacy is around 10 million flying insect species, the most successful type of animal on Earth. Exactly what that first aerial insect looked like, but fossils have shed light on some of its descendants. Among them, a design that's really stood the test of time. Dragonflies have been around for more than 300 million years. They were already on the wing when our ancestors crawled out of the swamps. Dragonflies are the fighter planes of the insect world. Fast, agile, aerial aces. These are male emperor dragonflies, and they're fiercely territorial. When rivals meet, they test each other's flying skills to the limit. These dogfights can be vicious, even deadly. Dragonflies are dazzling flyers, but the best insect stunt pilot of them all is smaller and much less glamorous. The fly. We all know how hard it is to swat one. Their maneuverability is unrivaled, and their reactions are 12 times faster than our own. So what's their secret? Well, bizarrely, it's because the fly's ancestors gave up a pair of wings. Like dragonflies, all early insects had two pairs. one type, though, the hind wings shrank, evolving into tiny rod and ball structures called haltairs. They're high-tech precision instruments and work a bit like gyroscopic stabilizers on a modern helicopter or plane. Flies come in a great variety of shapes and sizes. They include the hoverfly, crane fly, mosquito, and our friendly housefly. And they all have haltairs. Haltairs give the fly precise feedback on its position, helping it make split-second adjustments without losing control. So it can dodge a swipe and instantly regain perfect poise. Now more than 100,000 kinds of fly. Their duck and dive design has let them take over the world. And though they're small, they have a massive impact on other life, including us. In fact, flies are the most dangerous animals on Earth, responsible for more human deaths than any other creature. They carry and spread disease. And because they're so small and maneuverable, they're impossible to avoid. But being a successful insect isn't just about having the top technology for flight. It's also about when to fly. It's hard to believe that this and this are the same kind of animal. Why does such a gorgeous creature have such weird and wingless offspring? Caterpillars are munching machines. Their only purpose is to eat and grow. At this stage, having wings would just get in the way. A caterpillar can balloon to an incredible 2,000 times its starting weight. That's like a human baby gaining 8 tons in a month and becoming the size of a bus. Once it's finished gorging, though, the caterpillar uses all those calories to make a stunning transformation. From ugly bug to winged beauty. The adult has a very different mission: to attract a mate and lay eggs far and wide. Now wings are a big help, and one butterfly has taken air travel to extremes. This is the monarch butterfly, long-haul operator of the insect world. It's late summer in Canada, and these are great-great-grandchildren of monarchs that had flown north in spring. Now they're ready to embark on one of nature's most miraculous journeys. Triggered by shorter, cooler nights, they head south, flying the entire length of North America and beyond. Finally, up to 5,000 kilometers away, the monarchs reach their winter destination, in the mountains of central Mexico. Somehow, they find their way back to the same trees used by previous generations, Millions cluster together for safety and warmth, creating an amazing spectacle. Insects were the first creatures into the air and flew unchallenged for about 100 million years. Then another twist of evolution brought a second wave of flight. Down on the ground was the ancestor of a different group of animals that produced some of the most impressive flyers ever. The pterosaurs. Sadly, no pterosaurs are left to help us tell their story. What we do know is that they evolved from an ancient kind of reptile. How did a four-legged reptile turn into one of nature's most magnificent flyers? Today, tree-dwelling reptiles offer a clue. For a green iguana cornered in the treetops, there's just one way out: straight down. They generally hang out over water for a safer landing. A simple free fall isn't very stylish, but it's a start. If you can add some control to your descent, then you're a step closer to taking flight. And in the forests of Southeast Asia lives an animal that's taken free fall that one stage further. This gecko has evolved a kind of onboard parachute. Webbed toes and flaps of skin along its sides act like air brakes, giving it some control over its fall. It can't go far, but it's a leap in the right direction. And if you think that's impressive, watch what its neighbor can do. The draco looks like any other lizard until it jumps. This simple wing is actually skin membrane stretched over its ribs. It lets this tiny lizard glide up to 100 meters. Still not strictly speaking flying, but it saves an awful lot of climbing up and down. At some point, an ancient gliding reptile took the next crucial step, turned its arms to wings, and developed true powered flight. This second airborne breakthrough heralded the arrival of the pterosaurs. Fossils suggest that many lived like some birds do today. One had a mouth with a built-in sieve to filter out small creatures from the water, much as a modern flamingo does. other had sharp hooked teeth, good for snagging slippery prey. It used its beak to trap fish just below the surface, like a skimmer does today. Another pterosaur had an expandable throat pouch, a built-in fishing net. It was a kind of prehistoric pelican. There's one thing about the pterosaurs no modern bird can match. Their size. Some got as big as a hang glider. How did these giants take off and stay airborne? As for a hang glider, a headwind would be vital to provide enough lift to get off the ground. The largest pterosaur, Quetzalcoatlus, measured 12 meters across. But how did the world's biggest ever flying animal stay up? Pterosaurs were built a bit like this glider, with massive long wings and a small body. Like the glider's hollow aluminium tubes, their bones were also partly hollow to minimize weight. Once up in the air, they'd have soared using updrafts and thermals, just as a glider pilot does. Pterosaurs dominated the skies for 150 million years, but they vanished along with the dinosaurs. By then, a third airborne animal had arrived. Its success was down to a brand new structure, the feather. It led to perhaps the most beautiful of all flying animals. The surprising thing about feathers, though, is that they didn't evolve for flight. In fact, feathers didn't begin with birds at all. The birds inherited them from dinosaurs. Birds are descended from small dinosaurs, a bit like this one, preserved in rock from 124 million years ago. Look closely, and you'll notice some mysterious impressions. Feathers. So what made these scaly hunters go all fluffy? Feathers are in fact modified scales. Over countless generations, some scales must have begun to thin and fray, evolving into fluffy down. But why did dinosaurs need feathers? Well, they'd be perfect for keeping warm, like those found on young birds. In the Antarctic, albatross chicks survive sub-zero temperatures for months on end, thanks to their thick down. Downy feathers probably evolved to insulate small dinosaurs, but they're not much good for making a wing. So how did fluffy feathers turn into stiff ones like these used for flight? The latest theory is that evolution hijacked the feather for a completely different job long before it was used for flight. It's now thought that feathers might have been used for display, just like many birds use them today. Stiff display feathers are far more spectacular than fluffy down. Male birds flaunt themselves to win a female, and perhaps it was the same for dinosaurs. By choosing the most striking males, the females helped feathers evolve in a completely different way. As soft feathers became longer and stronger, they were much more suitable for building wings as well as for showing off. But how did that first leap into the skies actually happen? The most popular theory is that flight started up in the trees. Feathered arms would come in very handy for a tree-dwelling dinosaur. For a start, they'd break a fall. And it's easy to imagine how a leap could then become a glide. Arms were slowly reshaped into wings, strong enough to flap their way into the air. Gliding became true powered flight. Enter the birds. The evolution of birds was a massive breakthrough. Their superb flying ability unlocked a way of life that has proved very successful. The dinosaurs died out, yet birds survived, and more than that, went on to dominate the skies. All this thanks to the fabulous feather. The conquest of the air began with insects, then the pterosaurs came and went. But the arrival of the birds marked a new era in the history of life, and the beginning of an evolutionary battle between birds and insects that would push flight to extremes. Each spring, mayflies have just a few hours to leave the water, find a mate, and breed. Many never make it. Mayfly feast only lasts a few days, but there's lots more insect food on offer, if you can get to it. In an average British summer month, around 3 billion insects fly over each square kilometre. That's nearly 3 tons of insects. We can't see them because they're so small, but there are birds that can, that have evolved to reach this aerial banquet. And none are better at it than the swift. the ultimate high flyer. They fly to and from South Africa each year for summer's insect feast, a return trip of around 23,000 kilometres. A long history of aerial pursuit has given swifts a streamlined body with long, narrow wings to slice through the sky. Only at normal speed can you really appreciate how well they live up to their name. Swifts are so specialized for living on the wing, they can't even land on the ground. Their tiny legs and long wings would make it impossible for them to take off again. That's why they always nest up high. One mouthful like this may contain up to 500 insects, and when food is plentiful, the chick may get 10 meals, 5,000 insects in a day. But in bad weather, most insects are grounded, which can mean the parents have a hard job finding food. Sometimes the adults have no choice but to desert their chicks and keep on flying ahead of the storm. A British swift will even cross the sea to continental Europe. A trip to Holland is no big deal when you can cover nearly 300 kilometers in a day. Back at the nest, the helpless chick can only wait whilst adults feed in fair continental skies. Another day, and still the chick waits, living on its fat reserves. Swift chicks are tough. They can lose half their body weight, surviving even weeks without a meal. But now this chick needs to eat, and soon. The parent is in sight of home after a round trip of perhaps 1,600 kilometers or more. Just in time to deliver a life-saving meal. Millions of years of chasing tiny winged insects have shaped swifts into true aerial aces. Amazing to think they started as feathered dinosaurs that clambered around in the trees. Central America is home to the swift's closest living relatives, a group of birds that have pushed flight along a very different evolutionary track. Hummingbirds. Hummingbirds can fly forwards, up and down, and backwards, and all with unbelievable precision. These aerobatics are unrivaled among birds. And it's all because of flowers. But how did flowers lead to such fancy flight? Over millions of years, hummingbirds and plants have struck an evolutionary deal. The hummingbirds get to drink nectar in return for pollinating plants. And hovering has proved the most efficient way to get a meal. It's a relationship that's been perfected until bird and flower fit together like a key in a lock. Plants have forced hummingbirds to become more like feathered insects, which is why, at first glance, it's hard to tell a hummingbird from a hummingbird hawk moth. It's a great example of what's known as convergent evolution, where two entirely unrelated animals come up with almost identical solutions to the same problem. But the hummingbird's supreme flying ability comes at a great cost. Their high-energy lifestyle means they need to eat half their weight in nectar every day. And they can only achieve such precision flying by staying very small. Swans have the opposite problem. They are so heavy that just getting into the air is a struggle. Swans are one of the heaviest of all flying birds. They're like the bird equivalent of a jumbo jet, so they take a lot of energy to get into the air. Once they're up in the air, it's all about saving energy, and that's why they fly in this formation. By sticking close together, each bird gains a little extra lift from turbulence created by the bird in front. As a result, they make a 50% energy saving. This big, landing is a challenge too. Thanks to that first feathered dinosaur, today more than 9,000 species of bird fill the air across every continent. Despite their success, most birds share a weakness. Their eyes work best in daylight. That left the night sky up for grabs, and another family of animals seized their chance. Bats. Creatures of the night that can find their way around in the pitch black and live secret lives in deep, dark places. But perhaps their biggest mystery is how they evolved. Bats are thought to be descended from a small nocturnal mammal. At some point, their ancestors took to the trees in search of prey. They probably began to glide on skin flaps stretched between their limbs, just like some modern mammals, such as flying squirrels and sugar gliders. It's a great way to get around, but still not real flight. More like free-falling with style. But the colugo may provide a missing link to show how bats evolve true wings. The difference is in its hands. They're webbed. The bat's ancestor had these too, but its fingers got longer and the skin between them stretched to turn hands into wings. It flapped these wings and took off, making bats the fourth group after insects, pterosaurs and birds to really fly. You might think that one bat is pretty much like another. But in fact, they're one of the most diverse and widespread of any mammal. Flying foxes are the biggest bats of all. They spend the day crowded together in their favorite trees. There can be millions in a single colony. As dusk falls, they make a mass exodus in search of fruiting trees. The power of flight means they can cover up to 50 kilometers a night in search of the ripest fruit. No other mammal puts on a show quite like this. Bats are now one of the most successful mammal families. There are nearly 1,000 species, each with their own special habits. Like flying foxes, many are fruit lovers. Others sip nectar. Some have even learned to fish. But a fat, juicy insect is what most bats like to eat. Bats need more than wings, though, to track down food in the dark. These creatures of the night had to evolve a whole new way of mapping out their world. They listen to the echoes of their own calls and create an image of their surroundings. It's called echolocation. But how did such a complex system evolve? Bats probably began by using simple clicking sounds, giving a very rough picture of what's around. Detecting even basic shapes is still better than flying blind. Then, by developing a more complex range of sounds, echolocation was improved. Bats were gradually able to pick up more details of their surroundings. And of their prey. Insects filled the night sky long before bats existed. They were a meal waiting to happen, and the bats tucked in. Of course, there are more than insects on the menu. Using its finely tuned echolocation skills, the tiny Natura's bat can even pluck a spider from its web without getting entangled. Once it has its prize, the bat goes into reverse, keeping its wings clear of the sticky threads with just a hair's breadth to spare. This has to be the ultimate refinement to seeing with sound. Bats were the last group of animals to get airborne. They've used their wings to reach almost all parts of the earth. Their sheer numbers are a testament to their success. The power of flight is one of evolution's biggest triumphs. It has shaped some of the most beautiful and successful animals that ever lived. Today's winged creatures make up around two-thirds of all the species on our planet. And to think they're all descended from just four ancestors who managed to grow wings and take to the air.